Sahana vavatu, sahanao bhunaktu, sahaviryam karavavahai, tejasvi navadhitamastho ma vidivishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Hare
Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, page 66. The Shastra says, Nate vidhu svarta gatim hi vishnum. Srimad Bhagavatam 7531. One achieves the perfection of life by becoming a devotee of Vishnu, but people do not know this. Therefore, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 12.5, klesho dikataras tesham avyakta shakta chetasam. People who do not ultimately accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead and take to devotional service, but who instead are attached to impersonalism and voidism, must undergo great labor to achieve their goals. Okay. So the point is there's all these other processes of the religion. If one's not, as he says here, do not ultimately accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead and take the devotional service. In other words, we may be absorbed in that particular religious activity we're doing. But if our ultimate goal, and worshiping the Lord, but if our ultimate goal is not that devotion to the Lord, then we maintain that attachment to the impersonalism or voidism, then there's going to be great difficulty to gain what you want. And even you get what you want, it's not going to last that long. Right? So that's the difficulty, is that one can worship the Lord, but one should see one's worshiping the Lord to please the Lord. It's about pure devotion. That's got to be the reason. Otherwise, devotees will all accept that ultimately it's Krishna, and so they'll get distracted by what's in between, by the particular religious process or non-religious process, what according to their taste, that they're following. Right? So, then, in doing that, then they'll get what they want, but to that degree that it's not about pleasing Krishna, to that degree it'll be difficult. Right? And that's devotees. So therefore, for the non-devotees, that they're just adding some bhakti to their, you know, non-devotional attitude, that it'll make it work. But it'll be so much trouble. So in other words, if you don't add Vishnu to the equation, it won't work at all. Right? And when you do, then it'll be easier. But the easiest is if it's to please Krishna. Why? Not that we could say, so Krishna is just about himself. No, it's because how do we get Krishna's mercy? It's by the devotee's mercy. So in other words, the devotees don't appreciate that it's not about Krishna. And we have to remember, it's those devotees who are those potencies that you're trying to get in the first place. Right? So all the six opulences, those are Krishna's energies. They're all devotees. They don't like to be with non-devotees because they're Krishnas, they belong to Krishna. So if you're using it for Krishna, then what's the problem in having unlimited facility? But if it's not for Krishna, then naturally they want to limit the facility for, you've done this work, you get this much. Does that make sense? That's the whole point. When it's out of affection, then you always get more. Right? If it's out of work. Right? It's just like, how much stuff do you give the kid? Okay? So much. How much work has he actually done?
Nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. So why, if we're talking about justice here, why he should get so much? So that's the whole thing. It's when we work on the business, then we're reciprocated business.
It's an advance.
Hmm?
Advance.
Investment. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Does that make sense? So therefore, is that actual perfection is becoming a devotee. It's nothing else. It's being a devotee. That's the point. It's not all the other aspects that go along with it. It's not all these varieties of, I would say, religion, non-religion, or anti-religion. It's the connection to Krishna. So naturally, as a devotee of Krishna, since religion comes from Krishna, naturally we engage religion in Krishna's service. Right? We don't take non-religion engaged in Krishna service or irreligion engaged in Krishna service. If you're situated on the platform of irreligion or non-religion, yes, we start from that position and engage it in the Lord's service. But, as we can see, it's not an ideal form. Right? Because you're talking about Krishna who is religion, right? Us who want to serve Him. So that means we would naturally be religious. Why we would use an unreligious or irreligious process. Does that make sense? So, if we don't know anything else, we start with that. That's not a problem. But, once we know, then why we wouldn't move on since it's for Krishna? Right? If one's a meat eater, you go to the temple, you learn about how everything is God's, by His grace you get everything, so then we should offer everything to the Lord, and you think, yes, this is I appreciate this. So you go home, and your non-vegetarian stuff, then you offer that. Okay? So for that person, it's now he's recognizing the Lord's position. And so he'll make advancement by that. Not that Krishna is going to accept that, but he'll accept the offer that you've offered, the devotion. But what you're offering, he can't accept because he's not interested. Now, doing that for some time, that person gets purified. They take up the association of devotees. In the association of devotees, they find out that we offer Krishna vegetarian stuff. So now, since it's about Krishna, now we would switch to being vegetarian, offer that to Krishna. You understand? We wouldn't go, no, but I was offering that before, so, you know, it's all right, and be attached to that. That's adharma. I mean, vidharma. That's against religious principles. But that was your position, that was your lifestyle, you connected it to Krishna. By that, you got purified, you came into more into association. By that, you understood what is the standard. Now you move up to the next thing. Why? Because of giving up that attachment. But if one maintains that attachment, yes, one won't advance more. When it'll go on, it'll be nice that you're pious in that way, but at the same time impious. But you won't actually get much further. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing, is one has to be willing, as the progression of religion goes, you give up the last one, right? Someone's a brahmachari. That means they have to give up being a kid, right? Irresponsible kid. Now they have to be responsible. They have to give up that previous dharma. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So now, as a brahmachari, they get trained. Now they move on to grihastha. You expect them to give up the brahmachari dharma. Right? No, they won't talk to their wife, won't interact because it's all maya. No, you expect them to give that one up. Right? Right? So then they'll have their family life and that, but then at some point they have to give that up for vanaprastha. You understand? This is how it works. You progress. That's what he's saying. Human life is meant for progression, like that, not just being the biggest animal in the whatever it is, the tribe or the herd. Right? You're moving up in consciousness. Right? So, the gorilla growing up and becoming the biggest gorilla, he hasn't changed consciousness. He's still a gorilla. He's just, his position may have improved. So that's not actually improvement. That's animal improvement. We're talking about consciousness. That's the human. So we have to move forward from V-dharma to ad-dharma up to dharma. And then dharma shouldn't be actually from the point of quasi-theistic. It shouldn't be that, okay, we accept the Lord, but it's about the benefits I get from dharma, but it should be to please the Lord. So it moves into devotion. Right? And then in devotion, we accept the vaidhi. Right? Because vaidhi is the lowest. It's not lower than that. You know, we're taking it that it's, you know, it's below. It's the lowest. So if we don't accept vaidhi, how will we get to rag? Right? And that's the mood in Braj. So if we're not accepting the Vaidhi and we're not on the platform of Rag, then it becomes a-dharma or vidharma. And so why would we use these lower situations of consciousness for something higher? We're trying to function on anandamaya, but we're attached to anamaya and pranamaya situations. Does this make sense? Yes.
So even on the path of devotion, sometimes we see that devotees become complacent.
Yes.
They come to a particular level and they think that's good enough. You know, like you mentioned, Vaidhi, that's, you know, that's my thing, I'm happy. And then, or even in rag, but at a certain level, they just think, that's it, I've developed, and then I don't want to progress anymore.
Yeah.
So why is this happening?
As the Prabhupada mentioned, sometimes the soul gets tired. So that's why they don't go further. You know, generally that'll be, you know, when they give up devotional service or that. You know, if they've done so much, it's just, you know, that putting in that effort. So they put it into another area that they don't feel tired at. You know, because there's material benefit. Though there's no material benefit, but they think there is. So in this way, it just, you become, that's why it's said you should always associate with those more advanced than yourself. Because then you see there's always more. That's the difficulty. If you're at the top of the pile, there's no one above you, then complacency can happen. It doesn't have to, but it can happen. But that's why, in any case, any devotee reading the Shastra, trying to understand what the Acharyas are saying, not just from scholarship, but from how to understand, how to apply this in my life. So when it says give up attachment, we're trying to give up attachment, not trying to find an excuse why we don't. Like that. So at least there, and then what devotees, that they're also trying to do the same thing. They're trying to apply it in their life. And then appreciating the devotees, so then we can see is, you know, that advanced position that someone's doing. You know what I'm saying? So it may be in one area or another area. Appreciate these things. So we try to have that quality. Not that, oh, they're so good at this, but in that, and then write it off. That's because we don't want to. Does that make sense? You know, the person's chanting very nicely, but in another area, they fall asleep in Bhagavatam class or something like that. So it's not that, oh, but he falls asleep, so I don't have to use this example of chanting. No, his chanting is, you can see that there. Someone else is, you know, participating in the Bhagavatam class, but you see during japa time, they're, you know, texting and this and that. So like this, you see, you take example where it applies. So that way then we're always in good association, we can always find something. And then as we start going more, as we understand the Shastra more, then we see how Krishna's in everything, and we can learn from anything. Like in the 11th canto we'll see is that points made is the advanced person can learn even from, even their own body is guru. Because they learn from the body, you know, it gets old, it does this, that, it's limited. So I want to be unlimited, but the body's limited. So I learn from the body about how the temporariness of this material world. So from anything you can learn. But the point is basically you could say as an example is that you're a teacher as long as you're a student. The moment you stop being a student, you're no longer a teacher. Then you're just coasting, because teacher is advancing. How do you take the students somewhere? Because you're going somewhere. But if you stop, everything else stops. Not that, oh, I'm at this level, I'll just stop here, everybody else will advance. But then the point is even if they were advancing, because what you're saying, if you're representing, they'll advance. But what happens when they pass you?
That's the question.
Yeah, are we going to be comfortable with that? You know? You know, so if we can recognize and appreciate that they have passed by their endeavor, then we ourselves are moving forward. But when we can't appreciate and why it is they're there and why they're in these positions, I've been here so long, you know, why, you know, before them, I was here before them, how is it now they're the temple president, they think they're the big guy and all this and that. The point is that then you're not advancing. If you're thinking, wow, I preached to this devotee and now they're the temple president, you know, this process, you know, is so powerful, this is... You're like that, and they're doing such nice service. So that's that person's advancing. So, yeah. It just comes from, yeah, just, it'll be something mundane. You know, because as it says, even a, you know, a small thing can get in the way. So if you can remove that, then, you know, their position, they'll move forward nicely. You know, it's just like you see a devotee, you know, is doing nice, very well, and then at some point they weren't doing so well. But now if they come back to Krishna consciousness, now from our mundane concept, then they'd be starting all over again and building up. But no, they start where they were, and because other areas were developing, then they move forward very quickly. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would that be correct understanding that, because also from the previous class we were mentioning that Avidya is a central feature?
Yes.
Because it can be performed even when one's unconscious. For example, like when we see the person on the street, we can give them prasadam or we can chant. They don't know somebody, they don't care. But because of the Avidya, their progress. So in that locality, the central feature, it will be the active person.
Avidya. Yes, yes. Yes, because that's what you... So mandi jnana, so you do an activity. Right? The activity is they get a result, pleasing Krishna. But since it's something you always want to be pleasing Krishna, you're always doing activity. Right? Since we want to please Krishna, that's done through an activity. Right? So we're, and we do that activity with knowledge. So the activity will always be the central. It means you know the goal is to please Krishna. But it's about service. So that's what always goes on. So it's not that we've pleased and then we all sit around in lotus meditation and this nice bright light and just absorb ourselves in the bliss of that we did do some service at one point. You understand? So it's always dynamic.
So I was thinking of complacency that comes because of the misunderstanding, because Prabhupada translated bhakti as devotional service, which is also something.
Yeah. Yeah, if we're taking it as position, then we could get complacent. So if you could, yeah, I mean, from there, if it was like, okay, I want to get to this position, then getting there, then technically you've attained your goal. So then you wouldn't go past. That's why it says here, ultimately accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it's the ultimate goal has to be Krishna, pleasing Krishna, not that, okay, I want to become temple president, or I want to get initiated, or, you know, I want, you know, this kind of, you know, to be doing this particular activity, or, you know, something like that, that we set aside as that one thing, and then having gotten that, then we don't see beyond that. Plus, if that's the way we see, then there'll be so much problems will come up. Like that. So people who are complacent, they'll have problems. Like that. And those who are dynamic, it's not that there's not problems, but they won't see them as problems. Because they're going for an ultimate goal rather than a specific, where I just want this peaceful situation where I'm situated. So now, okay, I want to be the temple president, so now I'm a temple president, but there's all these problems, right? You know, managerial and economic and political, all these different things are happening, so it's getting in the way of my being the president. Why can't just all this go away and I can just be the president? But the point is if it's I'm being the president to please Krishna, then all these things are part of being president, because that's what it means. President means he deals with all this. So then it's not a problem. So actually there's more problem for those who don't take Krishna as the ultimate goal and take something less. So then by what Mataji said, it would be the same position as what's mentioned here. So it's because it's mixed, it'll have elements of both. It's progressive because it's devotional service, but because of the material mix, it'll have the problems that go along with that mix. Because if it's devotional, they're not seen as a problem. Is that?
Yeah.
So then it's just a matter of seeing Krishna is the ultimate and what situation they're in as the medium to use to serve, rather than getting to that position as what they're trying to gain. Is that?
Yeah.
Can it also be said that it's lack of connection to internal potency or chief potency, because the potency are expanding and they're there's no understanding that Krishna is always expanding.
Always expanding, unlimited. Yeah, you could say that. But that would mean your consciousness, that the goal isn't Krishna. Because if you have Krishna, then you have the energies. So then that the service itself becomes, like what you're saying, the prominence, as opposed to the situation. See, the difference here is the situation in the service or the application of the service. Does that make sense? So, in other words, they're situated in their service, which is good, but it's not about applying that situation. It's about being in that situation. You know, okay, we'll have this nice community of devotees and all that, but it's not about doing the service in the community, it's just about being in that. And so then this one did that, and that one did this, and so then there's a problem there. But if it's a matter of, as a community, being Krishna conscious, then these problems come up. That's part of the purificatory process. So someone's going to come up with all these different things. And so dealing with those so that everybody moves forward. And then as everybody moves forward, now there's more people to move the next group forward. Does that make sense? So it becomes about their position in Sambandha as opposed to the application Abhideya, and then that result is Prayojana. So their goal was the position rather than their goal being pleasing Krishna. So, does that make sense?
Yeah. I'm thinking that Mayavada actually it's all about position, just to put, you know, ourselves in that Brahmananda, and
yes,
then just relax for,
yes,
you know, for eternity.
Yes, yes. That's the that's why there's a weakness in that. They don't understand. Because it's about being eternal, and eternity is about your position.
Yeah.
You know, so the position is there. That's why the first thing Lord Chaitanya says is that we're servant of Krishna. Right, that's the nature, and everybody other than Krishna's servant. So it's not that, well, hey, what about those guys? You know, okay, you say, I'm servant, but what about them? You know? No, everybody's servant. So this principle of that's their weakness. They don't see Abhideya, they don't see Prayojana. So Abhideya, these things are just for their position. Because they've decided, if I'm in the position, I'll be happy. So it's the same as the material. Rather than I please Krishna, I'll be happy. Right? If I get liberated, I'll be happy. Then Brahmananda. Rather than I'm pleasing Krishna, then I'll be situated on Brahmananda. Because he's Brahman, therefore then I'll be situated in Brahman. So the happiness that comes from it, what's the real happiness of Brahman, is service to Krishna. So it's the Hladini potency that gives Brahman. So technically there is no Brahmananda, because where's the Hladini potency? Now Krishna, now him being Atmarama, he'll get some pleasure because he includes the Hladini Shakti. It's one of his energies. But because it's not dynamic, it's just the existence aspect of it, therefore the happiness he'll get, which will be, you know, very nice, won't be as great as if he's dynamically interacting with his energies, you know, under the internal potency, in the Hladini potency. Then it becomes more. But we're jiva, right? So that ananda that's there, that's coming from the Hladini. But because it's about, I want to be the enjoyer, so therefore it's about I, so therefore it's about position. And so I want to be happy. It's all about sat. So that they only remain within that impersonal state. Because the point is interaction. You interact with a person. It's a relationship. So when Sambandha and Prayojana are interacting as Abhideya, then you have rasa. Then you have relationship. But they're thinking, I'll just be situated in sat, no activity, and I'll get the goal of ananda. But it's not scientific, because without endeavor, how do you get it? You know, and if it's going to be, you know, it's the typical masculine thing. You do something once and expect eternally there'll be return, rather than,
yeah, I did it already, then why should I endeavor again?
Yeah, but it's about the, so we see his relationship is about the endeavor, not about what's accomplished. You know what I'm saying? So that's sometimes we'll see is that in the endeavor, sometimes we focus too much on the accomplishment rather than the relationship. So you have to find the balance. It means if you're not aware of the mechanics, then things won't progress on that, and that's being used as the medium in the relationship. But if it's only, you know, so if you only focus on the relationship, that won't happen. So there won't be any satisfaction because there's no progress there. You know, how do you express it? But at the same time, if we just look at the mechanics and not on the relationship, then why are we doing the mechanics if it's not for the purpose of the interaction? So, seemingly, it's, you know, that's an impossibility. How do you do the both? But that's actually, that's the, what do you call it? That's the mandate. Right? So that's what Krishna could do. So now, if we're trying to be the enjoyer and the controller, that's always going to be a problem because we can't balance all that. But when we're thinking, I'm the servant, then that can be balanced. Because servant means I'm doing this to please that person, and here's the mechanics how I'll do it. So you can work with both of them fine. So when more comes up this side, you can deal. When more comes up that side, you can deal. But if I'm the controller and enjoyer, then I got this, and the response has to be what I'm going to enjoy. So it has to be how I want it, not how they're responding. So you see, this is the origin of all the problems. That's why it says there'll be great labor to achieve. Because there's so much more. If the attitude of service is there, it's actually much easier. You know, much easier, the result is greater, it's much more sustainable. You know, or let's say it is sustainable because we can accommodate the adjustments that are made according to variety. So the taste is in one way, then it switches to another way. And so if it's about pleasing and about service, then it doesn't matter that it's adjusted. What the particular goal is, what the particular method is, because the relationship stays the same, that doesn't change. Does that make sense? So then you can handle that. But if it's a matter of I'm the controller and enjoyer, I should enjoy in this particular way from this particular activity. And then if that stops giving that, then we're in trouble. So then we get troubled, and you have to go through so much other endeavor to get the others. The one is natural. Taking the mood of service, that all these things work nicely. So and maybe taking that lead role, or that, you know, the operational, they say the operational cause, like that. But since it's about relationship, then it doesn't matter where that operational cause is being applied. You know, so what material cause is transforming, it doesn't matter because it's about, does that make sense? You know, it's just like, okay, let's say we have three preparations on the plate. And so then people are eating. And so then you've decided you're coming out with one of the preparations. And it's about me serving that preparation. I'm not looking on their plates and whether they've eaten it or not or need it or not. I'm just coming. And then I go, no one wants it, so I put it down. Then I take the next one. Then I come out and then I put it down. I take the third one and I come out and put it down. Now I'm done. Right? And then they're complaining about the service. And what do you mean I did the service? No, no, I brought it. You didn't want it. If you wanted it, why didn't you take? You know, that kind of a thing. Then it's a whole problem. Well, if it's a matter of service, I say, oh, this is missing on this plate, I get that, I serve that. This is missing on that plate, I serve that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's a whole shift in what you're doing. You know, and just using that as an example, serving. I found that's one of the biggest difficulties people have in serving prasad, is they're not looking at the plate. They're thinking about, I have these preparations to serve. They're not looking at what's missing on the plate, serve that. You know what I'm saying? So it's a whole different kind of mood. Because I've seen that. They come out with the thing and nobody wants it. You know, so, you know, you're already, let's say, eating the paneer, they come with shukta, no one wants it. Okay, serving's over. You know, or dal, no one wants it. Okay, serving's over. They make their own plate, sit down. It's like, why are you sitting down? They need this. No, but I went with so many, they didn't want. I went so many times, no one wanted. Yeah, but you were serving those things. They want this thing. You know what I'm saying? So they're not seeing what's there. So when we see it's that service of the person, the relationship, then it doesn't. Then you work in that way. So even though it shifts what it is, it's not about our idea. It's not that, okay, this bucket's closer, I'll pick this one up. You know, or the one that they want, you know, over there, or someone else has it. You know? So then I have to go and get it from them. Does that make sense? So then it makes it a lot easier. So why? Because that's what Krishna is interested in, is that point. And so his energies are always going to function in that way. They're functioning in that way. So if we take part in that, so we can see it's the mood, not actually technique. You know, so if you have the right mood, even if you don't have the technique, it'll work and you'll figure it out very quickly. If you have technique but not the mood, then no one will be satisfied. You know, because the person will say, I did everything perfect, when they didn't do anything perfect, actually. And the other person, oh, they don't know what they're doing, but their attitude's right. And so they'll figure it out. You know, and you point out one or two things, they'll catch it. Is that? Yeah. So that relationship. So that's why we may not do it because it pleases Krishna, but we'll do it to please a friend or family or you know, economic, you know, how you say, associate or stuff like that. So for Dharma, Artha, Kama, or Moksha, we'll do it. We may not do it for Krishna, but because we're doing it, what's recommended in the line of bhakti, then we're getting the devotional credit, even though we don't actually come to that standard. But because we're doing it, because this is what Rupa Goswami said. Now, if we drop what Rupa Goswami said and just say, no, but you know, I don't want to do that, or the modern people don't do that, and no one will understand, no one will appreciate, then who are we doing it for? Because we have to be doing it for ourselves, because we'd be doing that to please Krishna. That's why they recommend. There's this idea of Vaidhi Bhakti is just something there to harass new devotees, but then when you get advanced, all that's thrown out, and that's not what they do in the spiritual world. But that's all what they do in the spiritual world. You see, even when they talk about, you know, because we say deity worship is ritualistic, but it's very common that it mentions that the, you know, those intimate associates of Radha and Krishna, that they do, that they perform the activities of the 16 items of worship. Like that. So that's what goes on. But that loving exchange is the main thing. So it's not about the form of the ritual. It's about the ritual being used to express the devotion. While Vaikuntha, it has both. It's about pleasing the Lord in prema, and about that they want to do it in that form of the ritual. While in Braj, it's not that they don't use these forms, but they use whichever one works at the time. So that's what's there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's why if it's about the relationship, you can adjust to the situation very easily. But without the relationship, it makes it harder. So that's why the emphasis on relationship with the devotees and this and that. Right? Rather than just, oh, they're leaders, so therefore I should know everything about them because it's all about me feeling comfortable and all things like that. And, you know, they make it about themselves. But it's not about relationship. They'll say, no, but I'm you know, in the community and they're the bigger person. You know, so it's not about relationship. It's about themselves, their own sense of gain and safety. So it's impersonal. That's why it doesn't really work. Now, personal is, you know, the person, and then you're doing it to please that person. It means there are duties that you do that. Okay, I'm supposed to deal this way with this category of person, but who said that? Right? Rupa Goswami said that. Or, you know, Dharma Shastra said that, and Prabhupada said that's human life. So we're trying to please them. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like this. Would any of the gopis like to be nice to Kotila? No. In fact, if they could not be nice, that would be better, right? But what will happen if they're not nice to Kotila?
She'll harass Radharani.
She'll harass Radharani. Right? And so, therefore, we're nice to Kotila. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the thing. We deal properly. That's etiquette. because it will work out better for someone that is important. So there is that generic aspect, but that generic still based on a personal principle. Yeah.
I'm just thinking it's all working nicely if this Sthayi Bhava is established. But before that, it's more or less whimsical.
No, but the Sthayi Bhava is established. Jivir Sarupoi, Krishna Nitya Das. That's the Sarup. That is the Sarup Siddhi. But now within that, there's a particular detail. Right? Because the point is, okay, saying, let's say I'm a cowherd boy or a cow or a tree, or but if I don't have the mood of service in that, what is the meaning of that? You know, it's just like, what was his name? Vatsasura, right? He looked like a cowherd boy. They invited him to play, wasn't it? Then, no, that was Palambasura. Palambasura, they invited him to play.
Huh? Matsasura is a cat.
Yes, but I think it was all at the same time. Like that. But Palambasura came and, oh, hey, you know, come play, you know, like this. So he was given a side, he was that, you know, he got the, you know, he was on that side, so he ended up carrying Balaram. You know, so there he's actually doing the activities of a cowherd boy in Krishna's pastimes. But because he doesn't have the mood of service, then he's not actually the proper ashray for that. And so therefore those qualities don't manifest. Right? So his relationship with the Vishai, you know, pleasing Balaram, is he wants to harm Balaram. You know, so then it doesn't work out as rasa. So that's why being servant is the first thing. That is the surup. It's just a matter of we realize it or not. Then the form comes along with that. That comes with you. Does that make sense? It's not because cooks have pots. Not that because there's pots, you're a cook. You understand? So the attitude of cook is first. Then there's a kitchen, right? And depending upon what kind of cook, there's a particular kitchen. But still, you're a cook. So one is a servant of Krishna. Then one could be a servant in a particular rasa. But unless one's servant, that's not there. That's why we're saying that Shravana Dasa is understanding I'm a servant. Varna Dasa is then what particular kind of servant. Right? The Sahajiyas will take it, Shravana Dasa is what particular kind of servant, and then adjusting with that. No, the first thing is I'm a servant. Then adjusting with the particular kind of servant, a second. So that's the difference. They combine them because it's so much easier. I can imagine I'm a cowherd boy and doing that kind of thing without actually having the mood of servant. Well, the other, I'd have to develop the mood of service. When that's there and fixed, then one could participate in that particular way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure then why is it called the varnavas, why is it called the stage of acceptance? What is
acceptance
there?
Means acceptance of that particular expression of rasa. So let's say Braja Bhakti, that is the first point. Then within Braja Bhakti, then the acceptance of that and being able to apply that. But then it's still not enough, because then the sahaja is taken, how here I am here. But until it comes to Purva Rag, means that you're so absorbed in Krishna, it's samadhi, that there's nothing else important other than Him. So everything is seen in connection with Him. So that means starts from here. When Prabhupada says Sarvam Kaldidam Brahma, he's talking about that. And we think, you know, why is he saying this Mayavadi thing? You know?
In those five levels, which one would be representing Purva
Rag? Samadhi, and when you come to the perfectional point of samadhi in Smarana Dasa. Because then you're fully absorbed in Krishna. It's only about Krishna. Now you can be about Krishna. Does Krishna get distracted? He sometimes thinks of you, sometimes doesn't. No. So until you're on the same platform as him, how you can be his associate? So his internal potency is like that. Because it's non-different. So therefore, when we come to that consciousness, then we can. Then we can move into Apandas. Then you can associate within the pastimes. Right? You know, as according to our position. Then, having come to the platform of prema, then we inherit. That's the vastusiddhi. Because then that is our position. It's not just, it's not that it's... Because the other one, we could go on and on and on. Generally, you will move through in one, you know, one time. But technically, you could stay in Braja Gokul for many, many lifetimes. Because you're distracted by something. But generally, once you get up to there, it'll move into this. You'll get distracted in the lower levels. Right? You know, your Varna Dasa, Smarta Dasa, that's not working. Does that make sense? Kalyana Gunas, I see.
And is there any correlation between Kalyana Gunas and the six opulences of Bhakti?
There is, and it came across in one of the purports that we went through. It actually made the connection. One of the Acharyas made the connection. And it was one of those ones where I thought, I'll have to write this down, but then you forget at the end of the class and I wouldn't have a clue where it is.
But it is Bhagavatam or Vedanta Sutra?
I think it was before. I think it was Bhagavatam. I think it was like in 7th canto or something. Might have been even earlier. It might have been even 6th canto. It might have been last year. I think it was last year. But somebody, Vishwanath or somebody, showed the connection between them. It's a very simple... It's one of those things that's so obvious. Oh, yeah, of course. And then you can't remember it because it's so obvious, but it's so subtle. You know, so, like that. But I know it was there. Unless it was in Brihad Bhagavatamrita or something. But I know it was in Bhagavatam. But it's in one of those places where you wouldn't expect it. You know, like we were saying here, is that we're getting into all these technical things here, where we expect all the rasa, we're getting into all the rasa, we expect all... But there was a question before, is why do we need to have this technical kind of ability to analyze? Do we see how it's used in rasa? Because unless you can analyze on this level, how would we be able to discuss this point? Well, they know we can just go straight into that. No, you can't.
Is that ability called Vivek Shakti? Is that called Vivek Shakti?
Vivek Shakti. I'm not sure.
Ability to analyze is
different. Is Vivek. Yeah, it means it's necessary because we're trying to show the difference between the levels of what's pure devotion, what's not, what's our self, because we're used to on this lower level, okay, the guy doesn't come to the temple and doesn't follow anything, and then somebody does, okay, you know, we can kind of get that one. But here we're talking about someone's in Braj, in their Sarup, you know, like that, associating with other Brajavasis, but they're not moving forward. Why? Because not taking up that full absorption in Krishna. Krishna is everything. Hasn't happened for them.
Sometimes things are not so easy.
Great labor must undergo great labor to achieve the goals. Yes. Okay, so we see this is what you can do with it. Because what was happening before, we could analyze, but we could only analyze on a particular level. So in those levels, it was going nicely. Right? But then when we got up into other levels, then we didn't see. Like we could see is the beginning part of Jiva Dharma. You know, it worked, but then at the end, then it could relate because we couldn't apply our analytical ability. But now, because it's gotten finer and finer, now then we can. Does that make sense? So as we go, it'll make more and more sense. Right. Yes?
I'm just thinking, is it already rock or not? Because we analyze it still.
No, but analyzing is not a problem. It's not that they don't. You see that as they'll be talking about how the devotees can see and appreciate the various ecstatic symptoms and situations that devotees are in. You know, so it's like Krishna and Balaram are walking through the forest, right? And Krishna is pointing out, see all these trees and their love for you, then their ecstasy, then they're bowing, you know, they're offering their respects to you by bowing down and this and that, and then the crying tears of ecstasy, you know, the honey, and you know, just going on that. So that analyzation on there, then you're analyzing within rasa. But then that's because then you're tasting the rasa. If you're just analyzing just to analyze, that's another thing. But if you're analyzing and appreciating, then that's a different thing. So it's, does that make sense?
Yeah.
So if it's just knowledge, then of course it's going to have a weak it's going to be in a weaker position. So it's not that because there's knowledge, therefore it can't be wrong. That's also a misnomer. We think it's just got to be rolling around on the ground in ecstasy. But then Mother Yashoda wouldn't get lunch done that way. And when Radharani cooks in the morning, they light 100 stoves. 100. That means she's conscious of 100 preparations or whatever those different stoves or stations are going to make. Sometimes you can cook, you know, one preparation on two stoves at once, like you're making your sauce in one and you're frying the vegetables in the other and like this. You know, so point is there's 100 stoves. So they don't have any analytical ability to be able to discern between them and all that. It's just all ecstasy. They roll on the ground and whatever happens, they don't care. In fact, might even have to light the fire and might even have to grow the vegetables. They'll just roll on the ground in ecstasy and that's all that's necessary. You understand? So it's the medium through which to express the affection. And then the fun part is 100 stoves doesn't cook the same preparation twice for eternity. So we're thinking, okay, one prep, then the next day one prep. No, it's 100, 100. You know, like that. So it's a major. So therefore it's subtle to be able to tell the difference between what you've done. To make it. That's why the principles of cooking, you can do an unlimited thing. So it's just which one you're doing, how, which, what combination, what's, you know, what goes with what. You know, so everything gets a different, like you have a chapati. Okay, let's say I have a moist, dry, you know, kind of stir-fried substance. Right? That goes nicely with chapatis or bread, right? So now if I have a chapati, it'll be one taste. If I have a fulka, which is super thin, I have a different flavor. Right? Now if I have one of those, you know, nice brajbashi rotis, those big fat ones, then it's going to be another flavor. There's one fatter than that, where they take the dough and they just pat it out, then they poke their fingers into it to make kind of depressions. Then they cook it. Huh? No, it's thicker than that. But it's got these holes. Now, what's the advantage of the holes? It's like the original waffles. Once it's cooked, you put butter, you know, or ghee. How much ghee you can put. The other one, you just rub a little on, right? This, you pour it on, right? You know, or then if it's a naan, or if it's a batura, all have different flavors. Or then if it's tandoor, you know, it's a different flavor than if it was cooked on the... You understand? With the same subject, you'll get a different flavor every time. Does that make sense? And then I can put things in that, the size of it. Prabhupada showed this one kind of chapati. They were really small. Then they... I'm not sure... Yeah, it may have been like that. Just a few inches, like 3 inches, 2.5, 3 inches across. Super, super thin. One chapati is one bite. And that even gives a different flavor than your regular pulpas. He showed that, it wasn't Harisori, it wasn't Upendra. Shrutikirti. Like that. So like that. Because he came, Prabhupada showed him when he came to Bangkok, he cooked that way because he was there. The crew came without Prabhupada. Because Prabhupada was supposed to go to a program, but he couldn't go. He was in Bombay for all the Juhu stuff, you know, to try to organize the temple. And then, so he sent his you know, the servant, the secretary, and the cook. And so they came to represent. So, yeah, so he cooked that. So, different. So, that's the whole thing. And then you can make adjustment. How dry, how wet. You put tomato, you don't put tomato. How much tomato? Did you chop the tomato? Did you make it into a sauce? So, you can do unlimited things with the same ingredients. How you're presenting them. Then there's completely changing the ingredients. You know? Does that make sense? Yeah. So, like that, you can do unlimited variety. So to be able to appreciate that fineness means there has to be analytical ability. So it's not that analysis is not there in rasa. It's just there to please Krishna. How this will please Krishna. Rather, it's not about one's a cook. It's not about who he's cooking for. He just has to cook. No, one's cooking for Krishna. So it's about Krishna, not about... And the cooking is the medium to express it. Does that make sense? So I'm really burning through the pages today. To achieve understanding, such persons work very hard and undergo severe austerities, but their hard labor and austerities themselves are their only achievement. Right? And people don't notice it because we put so much emphasis on the secondary. That we don't see that the secondary aspect is only to support the primary. So even though they work so hard because the primary is not included, all they get is the benefit of having worked so hard. And that will be seen as an accomplishment. Does that make sense? You know, so the Lifetime Achievement Award. They're just recognizing that, you know, you did so much hard labor and austerity. You know. Does that make sense? Yeah. For they do not actually achieve the real goal of life, right? So developing love for Krishna. So that's the whole point. That's why religion has to be given up to please Krishna. So that means all what you're doing, all this undergo severe austerities and hard labor, should be done to please Krishna. So when the religion is done to please Krishna, then you get the benefit of prema. That's the real goal of life. But if you don't, you just perform the dharma to perform the dharma, then all you get is that you perform the dharma and the specific temporary benefits of the dharma. That's the weakness. Yeah? So that's it. Yeah. Question?
I'm just
scared. Okay, not slowly going into it. Okay.
Even from the materialistic side...
A little louder.
Even from the materialistic side, previously we discussed that envy is in sambandha, which is impersonalism.
Yes.
And lust is in prayojana,
yes,
which is the karma. And all they did is try to be a very good person.
Yeah, I mean, so they, yeah, that's all they get because that moves back. So that's all that's there because lust will disappear. Yeah, I mean, it's just like, see, prema is there. There's the desire to express it, and that expression that is always pleasing. But lust, there's always the desire to fulfill it, but there's never any satisfaction. So the only thing you got from it was the endeavor. Well, for the endeavor in bhakti, then that love, that's what one's gained. So the endeavor is only to support, the secondary is only to support the primary. But because we don't actually have a real primary, then the secondary that we use is all that we get. So that's what we're trying to do, is we're trying to add in Krishna as the primary to whatever we're doing. And then naturally improve things as the improvement of those things is of value in Krishna consciousness. Does that make sense? So one moves from one position to the next when it's solid. So it's just like the example is given of the inchworm, right? It's on one leaf, it's solid there. Then it puts its front leg on the next leaf, and when that's solid, only it picks up the back leaf, back foot, right? So that's our position, and where we are in the process of religion means moving from one to the next. We have to situate ourselves nicely in the one we're in. If we're saying, oh, we don't have to follow these rules, we're not nicely situated in anything, how can we progress? We'll consider, I'm not situated, therefore that's the progression. But that's the progression in V-dharma or A-dharma. You know what I'm saying? It's not the progression in dharma. Dharma is then you go from one elevating process, and when you're solid there, then you start doing the next one, maintaining the one you're on. And when the next one is solid, you give up the previous one. So that means that's why you're working on two at once. Right? The one that you're focused on, you know, either as the one you're going, you know, that you're based in, then you work on the next one. And when it's there, that becomes the basis, and then you go to the next one. So that it progresses. But unless one's accepted, how can you... Unless one has accepted dharma, how can you give it up? You know what I'm saying? Just like, okay, there's the beggar in the street. He's never had anything, doesn't have anything now. Good chance he'll never have anything in the future. So are we glorifying him for his great renunciation and austerity and simple lifestyle? Never. Now the Goswamis, now we're glorifying them. Why? They had something. Right? So, therefore, what's the glory in giving up something that you never had? Oh, you know, we just chant, we don't care about all these rules. What's the glory? Did you follow the rules in the first place? You know what I'm saying? Just like, let's say, have we seen the situation where there's someone who, between the Mangalartik, Darshanartik, they very religiously sit, chant their rounds, or, you know, whatever it is. They're in the temple, they're chanting their rounds, you come up to talk to them, and they don't want to talk because they're chanting their rounds. Okay? Situated nicely, like that. But, now let's say, during the rest of the day, you don't see them chanting, because it's not a proper situation to chant. You understand? So now, that is situated nicely in chanting, on the aspect of Vaidhi. But now, then they can't chant in these other situations. But when they can chant in those other situations, they'll be chanting in the morning time, and they can chant during the day. Right? So now they're doing the two. But ultimately it's got to be, they're always chanting. That includes the morning time. You understand? So they're doing the morning and extending it for the rest of the day. But ultimately it comes that they're always chanting. That includes the morning. So then they've moved up to the next level. You understand? So unless one is already fixed in one, how can you just say, we don't care? Does that make sense? Because the people who are spontaneous in an activity are the ones that can do the activity the best. Does that make sense? Like that. Someone who can't do the activity can't be spontaneous in that activity. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.